This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett. I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost two decades.
And I'm Emily. I am a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little baby.
And this is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the super fan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects.
Hello, all you anime fans. Welcome back to another episode of Anime Noise.
You caught me off guard there.
I was trying to give you a cue there.
I mean,
did my sexy voice get you all like
Yeah, I was like, what is this, Anime After Dark?
Hell yeah. That's an idea.
That's just called hentai.
It wasn't my best sexy voice.
No, it was a great sexy voice. I just wasn't expecting it.
My bedtime stories are much more...
Your bedtime stories, yeah.
Those are much better. That was mediocre, amateur style.
That was okay.
Anyways, guys, welcome back. We're happy to have you here for another episode, another week of our show, and we're gonna jump right into it this go around.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell from the title and you know the intro song.
We've
done this spiel a million times.
You know what's up, guys. You've been along with us for the ride, and if you haven't, welcome.
Yeah, that's right. So today, we are getting into My Hero Academia Season 3. This bitch aired April 2018 to September of 2018. It's 25 episodes, episodes 29 through 63, and it covers these manga arcs. The Forest Training Arc, the Hideout Raid Arc, the Provisional Hero License Exam Arc, and the beginning of the Shie Hasaikai Arc. Yeah. That's hard to say.
Yeah. You get the hard one.
Yeah, I figured I'd take it away from you this time because I always give you shit about it.
Perfect.
Oh, you even have it labeled. I just took it away. I don't even read the actual label.
You know how
I
said Garrett section.
Yeah, Garrett section. I should really like
read
the annotations.
That's all right.
I did it right anyway.
You did it anyways.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
Well, I guess we'll just jump right into the music, right?
Unless you got something else to say, let's do it.
Let's fucking do it. All right. Opener number 4. This one is called Odd Future by Uverworld. It was released May of 2018 as their 32nd single / EP, and it doesn't appear on any studio album. It peaked at number 3 on Oricon, which I don't agree with, but whatever. It's not up to me.
We can talk about it later.
Yeah. Uverworld, we talked about them actually in our Seven Deadly Sins episode. They are featured in Blue Exorcist, the Gintama film, Mobile Suit Gundam, and Bleach and Blood Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tons of stuff.
That was, if y'all haven't listened to the Seven Deadly Sins episode, that one was pretty great. We could have done it better, but it was great. I liked the soundtrack.
Seven Deadly Sins was great.
And I loved the intros and outros.
Everybody talks about how shitty the animation was.
Like, that should have been our thing. An anime you love, but, well, now it's got to be in the Instagram story.
Yeah, let's throw it in.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, guys. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, you should have already seen the update.
All right. Well, I guess let's play the song.
Let's do it.
Fuck yeah. Here it is, Odd Future. Emily's jamming on over here.
I can see how this got number 3. It's a pretty catchy song, like especially with that beginning.
It's also based on sales.
Yeah.
So I can see why it sold more. I don't think it's as good as, you know, the next opener, but whatever.
Preference.
I just hate like the overuse of autotune.
Well, yeah, that's like a thing.
I love the rhythm though. I still think they probably could have picked a better song for this animation.
Probably.
I do love this outro though. That part fits with All Might popping up on the screen. Yeah. It's okay.
I liked that song. I don't know.
I know you like that song.
I think, you know, it's all about how popular the artist is too. And so not only is the artist popular, but also the show is popular. So, of course, they're going to place a little higher.
Yeah.
You normally
I'm talking
see
about
it.
Musicality here. I'm talking okay. about musicality. You know, it's not as cool. It's not as technically
no,
musical.
No, you're not wrong. I'm just saying, I'm giving you an explanation as to why your Oricon rating is.
Yeah, I know. Oricon awesome rating doesn't reflect how cool the song is, unfortunately. It reflects how well it sells. And in this case, it's probably mostly selling to teenagers.
True.
That's what this whole thing is about, teenagers. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, I still think it fits the anime.
I do think it fits the anime.
It's not a bad song.
I like the anime songs that you can really, like, jam to. And I jammed to this one.
You definitely jammed to that one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like all the anime songs you can jam to as well. This one, like I said, I think the music fits really well. I think we haven't gotten to the lyrics yet, but... the emotion of it's there.
Yeah.
It captures season three pretty well, at least the beginning of it.
Yeah.
It's almost a coming of age story. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like still in the gray area between adolescence and becoming an adult.
I think so.
So yeah, let's get into some lyrics.
Yeah. So guys, I'm doing things a little different. I'm doing it the right way because what I've been giving you recently is the full version lyrics because I wanted to know if maybe like they didn't include a part, and I'll talk about that on the next intro that we do. So I'm giving you the TV version. So the lyrics that you heard, I'm translating directly.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Did
from
I explain
the TV
that
version.
Well?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
I'm translating lyrics from the TV version. So obviously the first line is I keep my ideals. That's
I keep my ideals with me.
Yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory in English. And so it says we each have our destined lives. And so then what's going on? It means, yeah, that I've still got things to do. Even during the days, I can't do anything to fix what's going on. Now that I've recognized that I'm different from other people, I'll open the crucible of possibility. I really like that line.
Yeah.
I'll open the crucible of possibility.
And I think that it's interesting that it's here. There's one character that I can think of that fits, that line fits really well. Mm-hmm. And that would be, I think his name's Aoma? The guy that shoots
the
lasers
that
out,
shoots,
of his,
belly.
Oh,
yeah, the Yuga?
Yeah.
Yuga, yeah.
And I think that fits him really well, especially towards the end of the season because...
Technically the middle of the season.
Yeah. Because he really starts to come out of his shell. And he's comparing himself. He doesn't feel powerful.
Yeah,
he doesn't feel... He sees all these other students that are fucking badass. And
but
he's
so confident.
He's
super confident.
I think that's kind of
it's a show. It's a show.
It's a show at first. And then I think that I think he really starts to come out of his shell. I know this doesn't happen until later in the season, but and it's actually this opener doesn't even play when he comes out of his shell.
Yeah.
But I really think that it fits him really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Cool. So what do you think? Does it fit the anime as a whole? Are you not done? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Are you still reading some lyrics?
No, I just realized that I forgot to put in our notes what episodes each intro covers.
That's okay.
Well, guys, I totally fucked that one up. So it is not, this season does not cover episodes 29 to 63. It is actually 39 to 63. And this intro covers 39 to 51.
Cool. I'm glad we cleared that one up.
Me too.
Fuck yeah. Right. So now what do we think? Do the lyrics and the music fit the anime? I think the music fits.
I think the lyrics fit too. I mean, I didn't read all the lyrics, but I mean, the things that everything about the lyrics explains that essentially what all the other intros have done is basically like, these people know that there's something more out there. They're all striving to be better. They're all coming to a self-realization. I feel like it fit. The lyrics fit. I feel like the music fits. The animation fits. I feel like it fits.
Yeah. I think they could have done a better job. The song's okay. I still think they could have picked a better song, especially with the animation that they have, because the animation's pretty cool. It does fit right where All Might comes in. I do like that. That one felt pretty dramatic and epic, so I did like that. But yeah, I guess I'll give it a... It fits. I'll give it a cha-ching.
Okay, cool.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. All right. So moving on.
Let's move on.
All right. So the ending, the fourth ending, it covers... Let's get this in there before I forget again. This 52. One covers 39 through 51.
Oh yeah, 39 through 51. This is the ending, not the intro.
This is Update by Miwa. It was released in 2018 as her 24th single, also not on a studio album, and it peaked at number 32, which I agree with this one.
Number 32?
I peaked at number 32, yeah.
Okay.
She formed her career in 2007, but didn't really make her debut until 2010. Her first single, right out the gate, was used for a Japanese TV drama. So right out, like 2010, she's already got her shit in a show. She began writing music at 15 years old. She taught herself guitar, and after, quote unquote, illegally, her high school had said that they weren't allowed to get part-time jobs at all to focus on school. She got a part-time job anyways, and she was able to buy a Gibson J45.
So why does the school decide whether or not you get a job?
I think that's how that works over there. The school kind of like dominates education.
Well, way to go, Miwa, because fuck the man, all right? Stick it to the fucking man.
Good God.
That's rock and roll. Breaking the rules. That's fucking rock and roll. Fucking rock.
And I didn't know what a Gibson J45 looked like, and so I Googled it, and it's very pretty.
Yeah, it's
that's
a guitar.
Very pretty guitar.
It's a very nice guitar.
Yeah, I'm sure it was fucking $2,000.
Yeah, cool. That and it was $2,000 when she was 15. So.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so she also hosts a weekly DJ radio show known as Miwa No All Night Nippon. I love it. I love it a lot. And then I have some of her favorite Western and Japanese musicians. So Western musicians are Sheryl Crow, Avril Lavigne, Taylor Swift, and Deep Purple.
Deep Purple throws me off.
Deep Purple throws me off. Her favorite Japanese musicians are Radwimps, because whose band doesn't use them as an influence.
That's true.
You know, Aiko and Yuki. She is also featured in Bleach, Boruto, Mobile Suit Gundam, and the Doraemon movie.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I also have to bring up Deep Purple too, because for those of you who don't know what Deep Purple is, all you guitarists should know who Deep Purple is. It's the first song you learn on the guitar. They wrote the song Smoke on the Water.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's the first song everybody learns on the guitar, usually. All right, let's play it, right?
Let's do it.
Fucking listen to it. Here it is. Update. That whole acoustic guitar singer-songwriter sound at definitely Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I like how she has the string section behind her.
And the super sick bass line. Yeah. Always.
You and your Japanese bass.
Can I go to music school in Japan, please? Teach me your ways. Little cheese factor in there, that's okay. Funk in there. The guitar. And there's the Rhodes.
I like how she flows her
key change. Sorry, go ahead. She flows what?
I like how she flows her lyrics. N- Now, in this animation, these are actual keyframes used from Horikoshi's the manga.
The manga? Oh, yeah. Nice. It looks like it.
And some of the scenes are in the style of American comic books, like straight up American comic books.
Well, you know what Tsukidayo means, right?
No. It
means I like you.
Oh.
Or I love you. But I'm pretty sure it's I like you.
Well,
you're about to tell us anyway.
I will, yeah. So the first line is, update, fly further, further, further away. I don't want anyone else. I don't want to have regrets, so I'm going to say it right now. I love, 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 I love this place.
Okay. So I got the I love part, but not you in particular.
Yeah. Just
I'm still figuring out Japanese, guys.
No, yeah. You're better than I am. Yeah, so that's like the whole thing, what it's about. There's a little bridge. It says, I'm excited about the future because there's so much I want to see with you. Get ready for update. It said get ready for update. And then the next word is update.
Okay. Well, I think that all around I'm not a huge fan of the cheese factor pop sort of stuff.
No.
But I do think that it fits this anime because, like I said, it's a coming of age. You know, you need a little bit of cheese factor in there. There are some...
It's relating to
it's a level of innocence.
Adolescent moments in your life.
Yeah, like you're still, it's that borderline between being a child and being an adult, and there's still a level of innocence there and things that you got to learn on your own. So yeah, it doesn't need to be a little cheesy. Emotions are a little simpler.
Yeah.
You're still figuring out the complex emotions.
Yeah.
So
don't get older, guys. It doesn't get any better.
It gets way worse. Way worse.
Way worse.
Super, super fucking worse.
Yeah, I know that this song is about essentially like their friendship. Unfortunately, that's a story that these openings and endings have already told us. So I feel like at this point in season three, we're already at the fourth ending. It's almost the same as the message in opening number four as well. We've already heard.
Yeah, it seems cookie cutter, right?
It's becoming now repetitive. And so it's.
I'm ready for it to grow up.
I'm ready for them to get over their shit.
I'm ready for this to grow up.
I'm ready for them to just get through the shit. Yeah, that's what I think it fits in a way that, like you said, it fits the adolescence and the innocence. But as opposed to the anime itself, you know, this is a fucking rough ass season. And during this, I don't feel like this song helps me come down from the scenes. It's very much kind of what I don't like about anime endings a lot of times, is especially when they're dealing with All for One and then we go straight into that ending. I just don't like the transition there.
Wow. I see what you're saying. I think that it can fit because I know it's getting cookie cutter. It's getting a bit redundant at this point. It is still the theme and the whole, like, I love, 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 love this place.
Mm.
After all that bullshit happened at the training camp.
Yeah.
They then are threatened to leave UA. Like, UA is under threat from media. And how could you let this happen to kids and things like that? And it's like, then they decide to build the dorms and stuff. And they're like, fuck yes, we still get to stay here.
That's true.
All of them end up staying there.
You're right. And like I said, it does fit where we're at right now in terms of the first half. You know, we are transitioning. There's a lot of happy things going on. But towards the end, once you get closer to episode 51, it gets kind of stormy and gloomy, dark and gross.
Yeah. And I think that probably the next two. We'll analyze it in the moment here, and I don't really know the lyrics of the next two songs, the opener and the ender, but I do think it fits. It's still a bit cookie cutter. It's still a bit generic, but it does. I mean, it still fits.
Yeah,
it can get a check mark.
I'll give it a.
We still haven't come up with our halfway tone.
I'll give it a half check mark.
Half check mark.
Half check mark.
I'll give it a just cut it off right there.
Yeah.
Well, okay, there's that. Now let's move on to my favorite opener.
His favorite.
From all of My Hero Academia. Actually, one of my favorite openers so far, like of a lot of anime.
Okay.
I totally forgot about this when you talked when you asked me what my favorite opener was the other day on that on the game on on our story on Instagram, and I should have picked this one because although it's like it's still got that mild cheese, which I don't necessarily like, the song is fucking sick.
Yeah, no, it is a good song.
And the bass line's amazing. I learned it. It's cool.
Yeah, I know. there is something before Garrett gets into the credentials that I want to point out. So, you know, I'm a fucking nerd, and I jam out to anime songs in my car while I'm driving, and this is on a lot of anime song playlists.
Like playlists, yeah.
Yeah, and they, of course, include the full version. I love the full version way more than the TV version.
Same.
It rocks harder than...
So
and
much
I feel
harder.
Like they picked the worst TV edit of sections that they could have gone for. I realize that you're trying to like fit your lyrics in there too, but there's some parts where they really break down and like the solos are awesome and the drum fills are fucking amazing. Like this song is really good as a whole, but it is not my favorite because of the TV edit.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. We actually did a post on our Instagram way back when we first started that I talked about them as an artist spotlight because I love this song. I even tried to tag Rick Beato or Scott from Scott's Bass Lessons to break down the song because the bass line is so fucking killer. There's so much cool shit happening in this song. And although the vocals sound a little cheesy to me, I do love Lenny Code Fiction is awesome.
I love Lenny Code Fiction, and I am surprised as to how new they are. Why don't you tell them about the song and Lenny Code Fiction?
Sure. Okay. So this is opener number 5. It's called Make My Story by Lenny Code Fiction. It was released in 2018 as their 4th single that didn't appear on any studio album. It only peaked at number 58 on Oricon, which is fucking bullshit.
I know. I was like, I know this is Garrett's favorite opener, so I'm going to put some dot, dot, dots and let him fill in the commentary.
Fucking bullshit. Throwing a fit. Lenny Code Fiction formed in 2012, and they began as Synco Riot before changing their name in 2014. Do you know what Synco means?
I don't.
We'll figure it out later.
I can look it up for you as you talk.
Yeah, look it up for me.
Cool.
Their major debut was in 2016 with D. Greyman Hollow, their OP, and they were also featured in All Out, a rugby anime, Fire Force, which I totally didn't even recognize when they played in Fire Force. I'm an idiot. And Puzzle and Dragons Cross. Never heard of that one.
I haven't either, but I believe that is a newer one that's coming out, that's filtering in.
Cool. I'm
also
excited to hear the music for that.
Synku means first.
First.
So first riot.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, yeah, let's listen to it.
Let's do it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Here it is. Make My Story.
Garrett's favorite. Like, it just comes in.
It's already got so much attitude.
Yeah.
And you guys have to listen to this fucking bass line. So cool. I like how when they leave gaps for the rest of the instruments, the bass is still playing. They gave it to him.
Yeah. So you got Garrett over here
air bass.
Playing air bass.
And his use of accidentals is fucking incredible. Accidentals, for those of you non-musicians, are notes that don't belong in the key.
I also would like to point out that when we're in this version, this TV version is a lot better than what they actually play in the anime. I feel like it's so much softer.
You think so?
Yeah. I do. Because I honestly thought it was a totally different song than what I was thinking of when we started rewatching the third season. Because it was, it just doesn't, I don't know if they just like kind of do what YouTube does, but on a very drastic level, and bring the levels to where they only go up so high and they only hit this bar.
You're talking about in the anime?
In the anime, yes.
That it's lower than this.
It just sounds softer. Like, not even like almost like they didn't incorporate the bass into it or something.
Hmm.
It just sounded a lot softer to me.
Well, we're only on the first episode of that. Like, we actually haven't caught up on this the season.
I've watched a couple episodes ahead.
You did?
Like, in the past couple of days, just to, like, incorporate in the, to see the animation and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we probably have the volume cranked up a little bit higher, especially in our headphones. It could be like a, it's tricking your ears, so to speak.
Maybe.
To me, I always think that the Crunchyroll versions, it sounds less compressed. And that could be why you're hearing the bass a lot more. It sounds louder because the YouTube algorithm just compresses the shit out of everything.
Who knows? I still think the full version is better.
Bro, the full version is sick. Go watch the music video. Actually, yeah, just scroll down to the bottom of our grid on Instagram.
We'll
it's there.
We'll add it to the playlist in case you really want to listen to it.
Yeah, I definitely think we should.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some lyrics, guys.
Cool, break it down.
Yeah. So, of course, the first line, I know what I have to do now. It's my life, one and only.
That's right. YOLO.
If I wipe my tears thousands of times, they won't stop. I never expected my days to be easy. Follow my way. Take me to frustration. Follow my way. I'll aim for beyond that. I want to celebrate deep emotion rather than the mundane when I dream. I know what I have to do now. In the midst of all these possible lives, I found the correct one. Make my story.
Sing it. Fuck yeah.
He says, because I'm the only one. I want to always live my life with feelings like promise and resolve. I like this song. I like the lyrics. I like the message. It fits the anime.
I think it fits better than the first one of this season.
Of course you do.
Fuck yeah, I do.
You goddamn animal.
I'm a little bit biased, but I actually also biased. Think if I was going to look at it third party, it's got just enough cheese. It's got the lyrics. I don't know if they necessarily fit better than the first one's lyrics. They're about the same.
They are about the same. I think both lyrics fit. I do think the first one fits a little bit better.
You think so?
I think so.
Lyrically. Okay.
I'm not saying that I agree that the song fits better than this. I feel like this is almost an iconic. Like, anytime that you search for My Hero Academia openings, peace sign and
Make My Story
are the first ones to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely my favorite. You already know that.
I do. Everybody knows now.
So biased, I'm going to say it fits. Unbiased, I'm going to still say it fits. Could they have written better words? Probably. They probably could have picked a section that fits better. But
I don't know. I like that mundane dreams.
The mundane dreams? Yeah. Okay. It isn't perfect, but it is great. So, yes, it fits.
Hurrah.
All right, Emily, take us into ending number 5.
Long Hope Philia. Yeah. This is by Masuki Suda. This one covers episodes 52 to 63. It was released in 2018 on my birthday.
Ooh.
As his fifth single, and then on the album Love in 2019, almost like a whole year before it was released on an album. It peaked at number 12, and I got a couple of interesting fun facts about this. So this song was composed by Hiromu Akita of Amazurashi. And we all know Amazurashi. We talked about him in a couple episodes of our My Hero Academia series. He did one of the endings.
Do you remember which one?
I think it was Heroes.
Heroes?
I think it was Heroes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it on the first season or second?
I think it was the first season.
We watched too much anime, guys.
It was the only... no, because Brian the Sun did the first ending. So it would have been second season then.
Cool.
Yeah. And this song was also, it was made for to be the main theme of the first My Hero Academia movie, Two Heroes.
Oh, it was? Did they use it?
Yeah, this was the theme for Two Heroes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, so Masuki Tsuda. He made his music debut in 2018. Again, right off the bat, fucking getting on a fucking TV show. What's up with that? But he was already kind of in the game because he's famous for his career in acting. In fact, in the live-action Assassination Classroom film, which I want to watch now because I love that anime and I have yet to see the live-action film, he played Karma Akabane. So in 2019, he won some secret special award at the 61st Japan Record Awards in 2019, along with Kenshi Yonezu, who sang Peace Sign as the first opener.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what special award means. I even tried to like look it up. What does it mean? What did he get it for? Why is it special? And why aren't they telling me?
It's probably like Yuki Hayashi's mom's like secret recipe for cookies or something. I don't know. Special award.
Here's a cookie. Special award.
This is a great award. You won't even get to show it off in your house because you're gonna eat it right now.
Oh God. Yeah. So that's it for credentials. Let's take a listen.
Yes. So this is Long Hope Philia. What an interesting name.
That is an interesting name, right? I was gonna say it's a long, long name.
That's a long name. Here it is.
We should actually hear the title name in the lyrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Unless he says it in Japanese.
He shouldn't, since the actual title is. Hey,
look, they did the animation correctly, where he's moving to the beat.
But then they have him and All Might walking differently.
No, their feet are landing at the same time.
Are they?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to see at an angle.
It just looks trippy because he's upside down.
Well, clearly we know who this is about.
God, it's driving me fucking crazy.
Garrett's obviously ready to go to Japan.
So fucking ready. I really like this song.
I like how raw his voice sounds.
And that's cool how they did the animation. Uh-huh. You see All Might, like, he's walking a lot faster towards his friends, and then he's sprinting towards All Might.
Yeah. There it is. There's the title track.
Cool.
Got it.
I actually really like that song. I forgot about it.
Yeah, it's clearly we didn't make it our way through season 3. We got a little busy this week.
We got about halfway. We got about 12 episodes in, and we've had a super, super exciting and busy week.
Yeah.
All good things. Like it was a good busy.
It was a good busy, just busy.
Yeah.
We're not used to being busy. We've had almost a whole year of not being busy, and now being busy feels overwhelming.
It's like everything happened all at the same time.
Yeah. So this song, the lyrics are pretty short, but I really like the first verse. The more we walk, the dirtier the soles of our shoes get. In the same way, our souls develop shadows as they're worn down. In times like that, remember why you can't give up. I thought I saved you, but think I was saved instead. I thought I grabbed your hand, but you actually grabbed mine. And now, you know what? I'm just going to finish out these lyrics because I feel like that might help. Let there be light on all of our journeys. I can't speak of strength or weakness. Each step you took forward was a victory for your bravery. Like inhaling in order to shout, an approach is needed to jump high. In order to laugh, we cried, and that's not called defeat. Long hope, Philia.
Okay.
Which I think this is All Might to Midoriya.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
The whole animation sequence starts with Midoriya, then All
Might. And
Might,
All Might, yeah.
But deflated All Might, and then at the end
then it's
Hero All Might.
I think the animation's probably showing like, hey, you know, in order to laugh, we cried. You know, it's showing that in kind of how the anime plays it out in that battle with All for One, you know, he's still our hero. Like, he may be deflated and look creepy as fuck, but he's still our hero. He's still the symbol of peace at this moment. And I think that's, like, you know, them kind of working out him not being the symbol of peace anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, because now we've got to move on.
Although he won the fight, it's like...
Everybody knows that that's the last fight that Burrow's going to be fighting.
Oh, shit, he just retired.
He's done.
He is done.
He's done.
That looked painful. And then he does that super epic speech.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
At the very end. Now it's your turn.
Yeah. So philia is an ancient Greek word that means friendship. And it's one of the four main loves, along with eros, agape, and storge, as it represents love between close friends.
Okay.
So, I mean, really, that could still obviously be about All Might and Izuku, but it also showed, the animation depicted the song really well. I mean, it showed all of the people who were close to him. I don't know if it showed his mom, but it's close friends. So
I think it might have even shown his mom. I don't remember, though.
But yeah, so what do you think? You think it fits?
I think it definitely fits.
I think it fits.
It does your thing where it like brings you out too.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like it's like it was almost acoustic enough to kind of be like, okay, a little lighthearted, nothing too hard, nothing too like.
And they open up the chords on the electric guitar.
Yeah.
They play each note individually and it's very Radwimpsy.
Yes. And also, you know, towards the end of this, you're getting into Overhaul and that bitch is fucking.
Oh, he's gangster.
He's intense. He's intense. And you'll hear it in the OST
gangsta.
As well, how fucking gangster he is. So, you know, you do need that lightheartedness and like, oh yeah, I remember I have my friends to keep me like sane through this journey, through this evil villain.
Oh yeah. New level of villain.
Because what was it? Shigaraki? She.
I think it's Shigaraki. Yeah.
Like, he was just an immature, like, you know, manipulative asshole.
Psychopath.
Yeah. You know, he's
a bit of a sociopath.
He's a bit of I was going to say he's a little bit of a sociopath.
Kind of on drugs, always scratching.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's nothing compared to Overhaul, though. So I feel like you need this kind of vibe coming out of the last half of the season. So I do agree that should have been there. I agree with the lyrics. I agree with the animation. It gets an all around. Cha-ching from me.
Yeah. Cha-ching from me, too. It fits.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys.
That is it.
It's time for the OST.
Is it time for the OST?
Yeah.
Are we not doing a review for the third one?
No.
Oh, yeah. We don't do reviews.
No.
Well into this.
Unless I really feel like it.
Okay.
You'll never know.
It's also hard to find a specific. I'm reviewing specifically season 3.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
That's only what we do.
Yeah. Bitches.
Yes, let's get into the OST.
Take it away, Garrett. Tell us about it.
It was released in July of 2018. It is a 2-disc album that covers music from the first movie and the third season. Disc 1 is 43 tracks for the movie, which we're not
going
to go over.
We are not going over that.
We're not
going
to touch that one. It's not about the movie. We are going to talk about Disc 2, the 24 tracks for season 3.
Absolutely.
I guess let's start with the overall notes.
Overall, I loved this. I put it on the top of my thing. If the My Hero Academia theme as is, like as it is on the first OST, if that were a part of this track list of the, if it was like 25 tracks and that
with
was one
the
of them
theme?
With yes, this would be my overall favorite OST.
Really?
Favorite. I out of the 3 that we've reviewed so far, this one would by far be my favorite.
I
loved
can't
the versatility.
Say that.
I loved the versatility in this and I loved there's a lot more of the choral, like the chorus parts and the like Latin chants. And I think that just symbolizes a pivotal movement for the anime itself. Like now we're really getting into the villains. Now we're really experiencing like what All Might has been fighting against and what his predecessor fought against. Like now we're getting into that chapter of,
sure.
of My Hero Academia. And that's pretty pivotal. It's a pivotal thing. And so now this OST is starting to incorporate more elements and things that you haven't heard on the other OSTs, at least not as often as you do on this, but still keeping that little bit of cheese factor in there, and it's a little bit of cheese factor.
I don't know about that. I would think there's more cheese than I got a lot more cheese. I can't say this is my favorite. Disc 2 of OST 2 is probably my favorite, and it's OST 1 is a pretty close second, only because OST 1 was put together so well.
Start to finish,
it was really good. I didn't like the themes, the music themes for the sporting festival, the sports festival in season 2.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like that so much. But the disc 2 was sick as fuck. This one, I was like, maybe it's this season.
Maybe.
But it doesn't, huh?
Maybe,
yeah. Maybe it's this season, but this wasn't, it didn't feel as put together or as cohesive as the other OSTs to me. Especially with these first three tracks.
Okay.
Wild Wild Pussycats is a weird way to open up this season.
Well, they were like the second episode of the season. So we've already said in season one and season two that, or I think it was just season one, that the OST goes by
the order. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe it's the season that threw me off, but I don't like the Wild Wild Pussycat song. It's a cheesy song for cheesy heroes. I mean, it fits them, sure.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said it's fitting for the characters. It's just a fun 8-bit sounding song.
I was like, the song is pretty basic. The dial-up synth sound is kind of cool, but it's not, to me, it's not a great start to this album. And maybe it's just because it's not really the start that I wanted to the season.
Well, also remember that this OST is technically 2 discs.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean,
but this one's for the season.
Yes, you're right, but I mean, it starts exactly how the season starts.
Yeah,
I have no complaints with that, and I'm more than happy to skip the first song. That's okay with me.
Yeah, I mean,
because I want to listen to the second song.
It's a weird transition to go from number one to number two. You go from Wild Wild Pussycats, this uber cheese, to then Loneliness, which is a pretty heavy fucking song.
That's a really heavy song.
Kind of polar opposites.
But I mean, you go through the whole thing, and I know that you liked track number 3, which is Vanguard Action Squad Darkness.
There was a lot of cool things about I found a lot of great songs on this OST.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my favorite versions of the My Hero Academia theme is on OST 3. But I don't think, as a whole, I'm talking about as a whole, definitely not my favorite. And that's just, there were some, like I said, first three songs, you get from Cheese Factory to Super Sad, and then you go from Super Sad to Dark and Evil. It's like, it throws me off. It throws me off. And that could be, but that's just me, you know? It's my review of that. So, those first three, I did really like Vanguard Action Squad. If it was me starting this season, I know it doesn't happen that way. That's not how they wrote the season, but that's like how I would have started.
I don't know if I would have started it with Vanguard Action Squad Darkness. I'm not trying to like put anybody into a fucking creep zone right off the bat. If I were to do it, I would probably put like a Combat License or like a Feeling of Partying. Not even that. Or I would put Momo's Theme.
I mean, I also, Momo's Theme was really good. I really liked Momo's
Theme. That's a pretty good opener. Even Yuga, I don't even know why that theme is so badass.
That's because it gives Yuka some edge, I think.
Like maybe, yeah.
I think that they could have picked something else. Instead of giving the Wild Wild Pussycats the theme, they could have given the Summer Training Camp the theme.
Yeah, but I'm sure that they're wearing them out.
This is essentially boot camp.
Yeah.
That's like Army boot camp. Wake up early as fuck in the morning after we just wore you the shit out the previous day. Like, we wore you out to where you passed out. And then some the smarter kids, they kept them awake until 2 a.m. and made them wake up at 6.
Yeah.
It was like super stress test. It was a boot camp. And they could have done more instead of Wild Wild Pussycats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that it's the song that I would go into. My opinion is that I think this is my favorite OST so far. I liked the music. I enjoyed almost every song. I liked a lot. There was a lot of symbolism in
there was a bit of symbolism, and I'm trying to think of which one.
Symbolism in Loneliness. There was symbolism in let's see.
This one definitely had the best sound design.
Yes.
For the tracks. Out of any of the OSTs, this one had the best sound design for sure. Let's just go from start to finish here. Try not to ramble too much and maybe show off the songs that we really like on the way.
Okay.
We're already past Loneliness, unless you wanted to play that one.
That's kind of one of the ones that I starred because I, and on the subject of, symbolism, there's a part where the piano creates this, sound like tears are falling and it's like into the higher register octaves on the piano. And they're just so intermittent, like they just kind of come in and then they come in and it's like, you know, very, it sounds like tears dropping, like you're crying, you're lonely. Like you can really, pardon me, you can really empathize with the character and the way that they just kind of move you into the piece. And I really like when you can capture the emotions. It's exactly how you felt about the song on the Hunter Hunter OST that really like caught you. And you were like, I didn't even like really review the song. I had to go back and like
re-listen to it because it
captivated you.
Yeah.
And this is what loneliness did for me. And then it's also like the way that they enter, they made it so distant, the fades in and the fades mm-hmm. out. And, yeah, and the strings, like, it was super cohesive. It was very well done. I loved the imagery and the symbolism.
Is that something that you wanna show off? I thought about this while you were talking too. If we have, I know that there's at least two songs on here that we both starred.
Yeah,
let's play those.
I figured.
Yeah, let's play the ones that we both were like, fuck yeah.
Okay.
So then we move from Loneliness to Vanguard Action Squad Darkness. I did star this one. I did love how absolutely dark this song starts. It is, they have this screechy sounding cello and then they use a cool sound design. This is another thing that made me think of the sound design, where there's this one thing in the sound design world. It's basically a giant slinky. It's a big spring that they have drilled and into two posts and they just stand it straight up. Slinky's horizontal. And you just take a stick and you scrape it along the slinky. And the farther you stretch it apart, like you can stretch it apart or together, you can make it wobble and it does cool, nasty, horrific sounding sounds. It makes it sound super fucking cool and terrifying. You're like, why is there scraping metal? What is this? Why? So it adds this like horror to it. Sound design was great. I love the digital wobbles, like those bass wobbles, the lack of rhythm, the what sounds like Nomu's screams, like that inhale scream. Yeah. It's such an impressive track. And then I was like, wait for it. Here comes the rhythm. Like it sneaks up on you. And I think why they do that is because when you really are starting to see the Vanguard Action Squad, they're causing chaos in this summer camp.
With a purpose.
Yeah, with a purpose, but they're distracting everybody. There's gas that shows up that knocks people out. There's fires that start.
It reminded me of Hunger Games.
Yeah, where they just attack from all kinds of different angles.
Yeah, on the island where the clock turns and like they all experience like a different like thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly how the OST sounds too. It sounds like they're attacking you from different angles and you don't know what the fuck is going on.
This song like just gave off like I'm going into a deep, dark, creepy, unknown forest. Everything that you would imagine hearing in a dark forest that you just have like, you know, when you're walking through, you're already kind of creeped out and like the like one little thing like scares you. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You're already
like scared as fuck in your head.
Yeah. And so then they have the percussion.
I guess that was kind of the whole point now that I think about it.
Yeah.
That's why they went out into the woods. That was a whole training exercise. You get knocked out if you get scared. And the whole idea was use your quirks to scare everybody.
And, you know, they use percussion underneath to act as a fucking heartbeat. It's like the sound effects at the very end of it were like spaceships to like in a desolate, creepy planet. That was like the vibe that I got. It was like creepy forest or like I'm going to a freaky fucking lonely planet that like has only beasts and monsters.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good track.
Yeah.
Well, then we move on to the Vanguard Action Squad All Out Attack. I had a few notes on this.
Sound the motherfucking alarm. That's how that song starts.
It's the, you got a siren that comes out. Sirens are a nice touch. You have more screams. And I said, hell yeah, the metal gets me. We notice.
Oh, we notice.
little
yes, we noticed.
Saturday Night Live.
Yes, we noticed.
I can't tell what instrument it is, but I love the solo sections. It was really hard for me to figure out what that was. It almost was like, I really couldn't tell. There was another song, I don't think it was this one, where they used reverse violins.
Oh, yeah.
It was actual strings, but mm-hmm. they just flipped the audio file.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the violins were playing in reverse. And it was terrifying. It's fucking crazy sounding. Love the solo sections. The bass tone, ugh. Give me more. I was like, give me more. It loses energy for me towards the middle slash end. It didn't evolve as much as I would have liked it to.
Well, I think what ended up happening is at the end, they brought the symphony back in.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of created like a little more of a cohesiveness with the rest of the OTs.
Yeah,
and like that heroic, like it's an all out attack. The heroes are also fighting back. The villains started the attack and now the heroes are fighting back.
Yeah, the villains start to lose.
They start to lose. And so I think that that's like their kind of way of bringing it back around. Like, oh yeah, the heroes are involved in this Vanguard attack as well.
Yeah, I think they were like, you know, we the whole point of that attack was not to win. It wasn't to win, it was to scare them.
Yeah.
And now they did that. And then next, after that, we have Combat License. Do you have anything on that?
I didn't have really anything. It's a motif you've heard before in the EDM type of style. It's you think it's going to be electronic, and then it goes to something that you'd hear from this OST. Not one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't one of my favorites either. It was just kind of there.
Yeah.
I liked the glitchy sounding synth. That yeah. was nice. There's something about the timbre of the UA students' themes that feels very high school.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Very immature.
It definitely fits. I love the incorporation of the past motifs. It's cheesy in a way that fits. They have this sneaky acoustic guitar thrown in there
that
I didn't hear until the very last chord. They strum it as the last chord. I was like, oh shit, it was there the whole time. That's pretty much all I had for that song.
Yep.
Let's move on to number 6. All Might with the UA students. I couldn't figure out where this one was. I actually thought I got confused for a second. I thought it was part of the his fight with All for One. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said as well. I said, so my notes said the horns are iconic. This is probably when they're in danger. The UA students, like they're like, I mean, it makes sense if All Might with the UA students and Baku goes there and then the other three fly over him and, you know,
yeah,
things
but
like that.
I don't think it's that one because. But, then we have, where's the battle? There was one battle. Well, yeah, One for All versus All for One. That's
yeah, but that was
nine.
After Midoriya and all of them got away.
That's
that was
true.
During
that's
that
true.
Fight. That like true. That was like a whole other
yeah,
episode.
He did meet up with them, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and he was like, that's why here. He slapped him at on the beach that time.
Yeah.
Because he was like,
you don't
what
listen.
The fuck were you there?
You do not hold your. You do not stay true to your word, do you?
Yeah. But. I said the drum sound and the lingering guitar and then it follows the drum beats while the violins play their own counter melody. And then I wrote, but All Might is still their hero. The music tells you so. And then it has like a really heroic ending.
Yeah, I dug that track. It wasn't too bad. I like the next one better.
Oh, yeah. No, this next one is just your classic villain music with the fucking Latin chants.
I starred this one.
I did too.
And... this one's track number 7. It's called All for One. It's very religious sounding. They have this Gregorian choir with a huge pipe organ and harpsichord.
Yeah.
It sounds divine, but in an evil way. The horns underneath, the panned reversed violin. That's where the reverse violin was. It was a very cool production trick. It scared the shit out of me. It was awesome. The dissonance in the middle of the piece, too, where you have a bunch of clashing notes.
And then you also have that, like, the synthesizer, came in for the win, and the cellos with their own ominous melody under the chorus. And
I was like,
then,
this is another great use of symbolism for Yuki. Actually, that reverse, it made me think of the reverse violins. Uh-huh. It's All for One is something that takes.
Yeah.
He's constantly
taking the quirks.
And it's reverse. It's like... somebody played your violin, he just sucked that bitch up.
Yeah.
It's reverse.
Yeah.
Another great use of symbolism.
Yeah.
Yuki Hayashi is awesome about this.
It's great. And another thing that I loved about this song is and everybody knows, and I even looked at the record store yesterday because all I wanted was a fucking Attack on Titan vinyl. That's all I wanted.
I know.
That's all I wanted. I was really hoping that I might just find it, but I didn't. But this song gave off some true Attack on Titan vibes. Like, I was getting some Sawano like nobody's business.
Yeah, it was. I really like this song. Do you want to play it?
Yeah, we should play it. Cool. It was either that one or the next one, but I didn't start the next one because
the next one's good too. But I feel like it doesn't need to be played because it's it can be described
and it's not quite as like technical as this song.
Yeah, you guys can go listen to it. Here is All for One. Religious as fuck.
And also villainy as fuck.
Yeah. Like, who's about to get sacrificed right now?
And it's super cinematic. Super cinematic.
There's that harpsichord.
That's my shit right there. Those alarm-raising drums.
You hear the violins now?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like they're just being sucked mm-hmm. up. And they're panning them, like, to either side.
Yeah.
It's kind of
it's
delayed
not the
and
same.
Scattered.
Cellos.
Wow, super dark cello. Those pads. Haunting. Haunting fucking pads.
But can't you picture like this behind like a titan like attacking the village?
Yeah, I totally
you
could.
Know? Yeah.
And that dissonance with those horns.
High register violins. Playing along with the chorus.
Those other vocals too. That's
look,
that's,
it's Mika Kobayashi.
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that song was pretty great. I would listen to that one.
Oh yeah,
in my spare time.
And I love how they fade it out. You think it's over, and they smack you with the fucking last resolving
like a
chord.
Little quick crescendo.
Yeah. And then you have next, number 8, The Power of All for One. This was a really cool track because they added more sound design. It sounded like somebody had a microphone in a room listening to a vinyl.
Yeah.
Listening to a vinyl record.
Like a black and white film just playing, and it's got that like almost a little bit of crackly.
It's got that vinyl crackle.
Yeah.
It sounds like the evil villain is in his lair listening to an opera record as he watches his plan fall into place and stroking his evil cat. Even the strings sound old. There's the orchestration and everything too, the oboe that they brought in, the horns. It sounds older. It sounds like a traditionally, but like the orchestration that's done in black and white films or classic opera.
Yeah.
So it was very classic sounding. They did a great job.
Yeah, I liked it. And this song is like, and it's like an old black and white film where everyone dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this song like represents everything the power of All for One is. It's just like you described. It's like the little fucking villain just sitting back letting all the fucking chaos ensue while he's stroking his goddamn cat.
Yeah, he's sitting in the fucking the penthouse suite of a giant fucking tower looking out onto the city that's just being blown to bits.
And I loved the phrasing that start out super dissonant and then they end with major chords.
Yeah.
It's like my plan's working. Fuck, I'm evil. Oh, but it's working.
I know. It catches you off
guard. And that's dispersed by a piano. And because of that, it's like inducing anxiety because you don't expect it to end like that. And then you've got the oboe that comes in intermittently throughout the song. And it's like, oh, yep. Well, the oboe just told me so. So that's clearly what this is about.
That's pretty much all I had for that one. That was a good song.
Yeah.
Let's move on to number 9. One for All versus All for One. This was cool. Happy and Dangerous. Number one hero versus number one villain. It sounds like the way they did it. was at the beginning, there's like this dance between the major and minor chords, and it just, it's like the MHA theme too, severely dramatized. And the way they use these, the happy chords is obviously All Might.
Yeah.
And the minor chords are obviously All for One. And it was cool how they did that, because you hear those major chords and it's a relief. There's like, holy shit, All Might, the symbol of peace, is fighting. Thank God. But holy shit, what's going to happen? Who is this guy? We've never met him before. He hasn't come back in a long time. And the heavy guitar that comes in just gets me fucking hyped. Like, God damn.
Yeah, I said the grittiness of the guitar along with the heroic horns, it just shows that this is like the battle of the season. This is the best battle of the season. Is there a ray of hope among the darkness? Like, is there some light that's going to shine through with those horns, that the way that they come in along those the dirty ass fucking guitars, and then you've got that light female vocal, that it's like, okay, is there some bright,
yes,
something bright coming?
And obviously there was but with a cost.
Yeah, which leads us into track 10,
which I started this one.
I didn't start this one.
No. The feeling of parting, it's got this beautiful sad clarinet, and the phrase that they catch you with, I actually figured it out on the guitar. I heard it, I was like, holy shit. Now, all of these intervals that I wrote down are based off of the one. So it goes 1 to 5, 10, 11, and back to 9. It was very cool, sad. It grabs you. It's such a beautiful solo. It's got a wonderful emotional build. And the next phrase, next melodic phrase, is thrown on top of this awesome suspended chord. Very powerful piece that seriously captures the feeling of this moment. And they don't resolve it at the end.
I know. And that's a clarinet, right? The solo. So that clarinet just represents the sadness and the defeat and the regret and everything else that comes with it. It's sorrow and defeat, but there's also light where darkness has seemed to prevail. And the song gets increasingly more powerful as it progresses. And, you know, right after that clarinet comes in at the very beginning, you get a crescendo from the piano and the strings,
yeah,
to just bring you into that, like, that emotional, overwhelming feeling that, fuck. But then it just continues to get more powerful as it's like, fuck, he's still the symbol of peace.
Yeah. Although it's a nice build to the next song.
Right.
That Light of Hope,
mm-hmm,
number 11. Super epic. You know, I expected a lot more of it right away. But yes, the percussion, they brought back the percussion. I put the perk, bring it, baby. It's like, ooh, those strings. Why do I write such weird notes?
I don't know.
So sexual to myself.
Stranger.
So weird.
Strange version.
I was like, no, don't leave me hanging. But yes, that melody is so epic. It resolves beautifully. I wanted a little bit more, but it is that light of hope. And it's just barely hope.
Yeah, because I said this song sounds more in the realm of you can see the light, but not quite yet, though.
You're like, holy shit, there's hope. He just said it's your turn. So obviously there's hope somewhere.
Somebody's
Can somebody find
hope.
It, please? Anybody in the back? You see the hope back there? You see it?
No?
Okay. Well, keep looking. Yeah, that was pretty good. Number 12, Heights Alliance.
I didn't like it. I just put cheesy chimey song.
Yeah, I put cheesy but fits. Like, if it's about the new dorms, I mean, oh man, such cheese all around, especially with the
so
bell
excited.
Slash xylophone,
yeah,
whatever the fuck that was. And so, I think it's a melodica. It sounded very, it reminds me of French music.
Okay.
Honestly, it's like how do I describe it? It's not a harmonica, but it's like on those travel things when you see the Eiffel Tower. It's like one of those, like, when you're watching the plane travel across to Paris.
Right.
And you... I think it's a melodica, but I could be wrong. It's got this upright bass. I do like, it threw me off, but I like the bluesy guitar that they threw in there. They threw in this kind of cool, solo-y sounding bluesy guitar. All around it was super cheesy, and, you know, it is what it is. You have to give you some cheese after the fucking dramatic shit that we just went through.
After that battle.
And then we got the next Song number 13, the UA High School Support Department. Now, I know we both starred this bitch.
Yeah, I liked this song, mainly, again, for its symbolism. And it's also the personifying of the instruments. We're bringing back around personification because...
It was really more like we used instruments that weren't instruments.
Yeah. And, but also like the beginning, you come in and you're like, fuck, add attention.
Yeah.
Like they've got those snare. Horns. Yeah. And the horns, they had horns at the beginning, I believe. I can't remember.
Well, we're going to listen to it anyway.
Yeah. But the instrumentation is awesome at reflecting the sounds and tools used to modify the gears in the suits. And then it fucking jams.
Yeah, it does. Jams. It does jam. I love the marching snare. I even put standard attention too. Sounds exactly like a workshop. The sound design is fucking great. The workshop is the instrumentation. And I love how they use this tempo increase to build more energy. It's like first you get introduced to this workshop and they're like, hey, yeah, we made this cool little gadget.
Yeah, look at that.
We made this cool little gadget over here. Yeah. And let me show you to the big office.
Pull out my big guns.
Here's the fucking Gundam suit that we just built. You know what I mean? It's like huge. We build badass shit too.
Yeah.
Don't forget. Yeah, you got these cute little boots over here. But that's
We got something to kind of help your quirk, but these are the shits that are going to change your life.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, did you want All Might as a robot? Here he is.
You want him in your pocket and he grows?
Exactly. Exactly.
He grows as needed.
Let's play that one.
That should be 17.
17. Yep. Yeah. Here it is. Let's hear if there's any horns in here.
No.
No horns.
Worry. That must have been another song.
But I love the workshop.
We're hammering. We're screwing some shit in.
Drilling. Whatever the fuck that is.
Let's do some metal work.
Here we go. Big office time.
Jam. Let's jam.
It's where that one, I forget her name. Hey, Deku, put this on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to blow you up. It's not finished yet, but why don't we try it?
The chick with the
cool eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this song just represents her.
Yeah, pretty much. She is the worst.
She is the support squad.
The support department, yes. My cute babies.
Don't hurt my baby.
My babies. And I love that little off-time rhythm that they got going on there. We're gonna let the song play out for you.
I like how it comes back.
Yeah, he does that a lot.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next song. Track number 14 is actually the Naruto theme song.
Yeah, no shit. No shit.
No, it's called Inasa Yurashi. It's I think the character from the other school, right?
Yeah, it's the stern looking dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I wrote Hello Naruto, Wadaiko drums, intro, bring on the fucking rock and roll. Ooh, Shakuhachi.
Yeah.
Guitar sounds like Naruto too. I mean, I was like, I see you, Hayashi-san. Electric guitar on the left, acoustic guitar on the right was a cool way. You like my Hayashi-san? I like that. That's a great little production trick. Solos are more mid-panned too. Yeah, all around good song. Sorry, we're gonna try to rush through the last couple of songs here. We're running out of our time, and we got 10 songs left to do.
yeah, we're only on song 14.
Yeah.
No, I really liked how this was a badass song. The dude is a beast, and he's super befitting of those drum fills.
Yeah, there's Chance too, the grunts.
Yeah. And this is like a traditional meets a rock song, and then it slows down. And the beautiful way that they panned it is that the electric guitar comes out of the left, and then they have an acoustic in the right.
That's what I just said.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Oh. I was reading my own notes, and I wasn't there yet.
Yeah, that's what I just said, silly. All right, you ready to move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Shiketsu and UA, which is Shiketsu is the other school.
The other school.
I was like, what is this, James Bond? I didn't really have much to put for it.
It's like an old car chase is what it is.
Yeah, it was definitely a James Bond car chase. It sounded like
who
either
will
the
be
intro.
Superior?
Yeah. Interesting choice for the competition between both schools. I don't know if I agree with the decision, but I love the progressive modulations towards the end. And that snare on this kit sounds
Is that the emoji with the mouth, the drool?
No, it's more like the chef's kiss.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
I really liked the transitions into each of the lay motifs that they have here.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Next track. I love this fucking track.
I love Momo's theme.
I would listen to this all the time. Yeah. Momo's theme. Love the start of the song. It made me want to find the title immediately. Like,
and
oh, shit. I looked back up at the screen.
Super bass heavy, too.
Oh, the bass is like, I wrote that. It is... This is a beautiful acoustic guitar sounding song, a happy modern pop song with a bit of nostalgic instrumentation, like 90s-esque, you know? But then they have this bass. It's super deep. It's definitely a 5-string. They throw in those low fucking notes on there, and it's really gritty and kind of like, it's the opposite of what this song is, but it sounds really cool as a contrast to the rest of the instrumentations, and it was used amazingly. It's a great song. Good fit for Momo.
Yep, I liked it.
And then you got Yuga's theme.
Yep.
Yuga's theme right there. It made him sound badass. This is where he comes out of his shell. The guitar is sparkly, just like he is. They put just a little bit of overdrive on it. He finally came out of his shell. He realizes his worth as a hero. And he's stopped comparing himself so much to the power types, I think, in the smart people. He feels like kind of just average. He just shoots fucking lasers out of his belly. He's like, what good am I, you know?
Yeah, and then gets nauseous as
exactly
soon as he shoots it.
But I do love how especially these two characters or two tracks give these characters a bit more edge. It's a cool use of the My Hero Academia motif to slap bass. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I did say that I loved the bass line, and I was like, this is a pretty cool sounding song for an annoying character. They did reuse a motif, so that's all right.
Yeah. I didn't really like the character at first, but I do. He grew on me.
Yeah, he grows on you, but I still think he's annoying.
He's a bit flamboyant, but that's all right. Yeah. You want to take number 18, Deku and All Might's Secret.
Deku and All Might's Secret. There is a lot going on in this piece between the beat and the instrumentation / sound effects. And I loved the reverb on the guitar, especially at the very end.
Yeah. That synth bass is real dark and super far away. It's like, it feels bad to have this secret, maybe. Maybe the bad vibe is about what happens if the secret gets out.
Right.
I like the white noise that they added to the hi-hats. It was a cool little extension of the hats.
Yeah.
Almost as if they made the hi-hats themselves in a program. That was cool. It's a cool sound. The next track I have starred.
I don't have that one starred. I have Three Secrets starred.
You have Three Secrets starred.
Yeah, I have
the
one right after.
Number 19, Katsuki and Izuku. I love this track. I loved this fight. Long time coming. They needed to duke it out to become closer as friends.
This is a banging song.
Holy guitar solo. Fucking love this shit. I'd win any fight with this bitch playing in the background. Same composition patterns as MHA
power
theme.
Stance.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same composition patterns as the MHA theme. And I was like, wait, there it is. There's the MHA theme. Best version of it so far, in my opinion. That's how you fucking evolve a motif.
You bring back a...
It was really cool how they did it, too, the way they cut out. And this is kind of why I wanted to play it, because I can describe
it
as it's playing better than I can, you know, without it playing. Actually, yeah, let me just play it and show you the part that I'm talking about, where they orchestrate it exactly like the original theme. Didn't sound like it at first, except for the orchestration, and then they bring back the phrasing. It is... Here it is. Katsuki and Izuku. Oh, hell yeah. This is a rock song made by a DJ. and the panning left and right. Mm-hmm.
Such a simple phrasing that they use for that those violins and guitar right there.
Oh yeah.
Simple phrasing, but fits really well.
It's more rhythmic.
Yeah.
And right now you still can't tell that it's the MHA yeah. theme. Because it's not really. Fucking guitar solo, man. Ugh. Ah. And then now you can start to hear the MHA theme come in, but it's still not it.
Yeah.
I know how that
it gets
those,
bigger.
Those drums are almost out of time. He almost falls out.
Yeah, it gets but so he doesn't. Much bigger.
Oh, it does get huge.
Vocals.
This is where I recognize the MHA theme. Mm-hmm. Instead of the guitar, it's a fucking drum fill. Oh, it's so sick. It almost sounds like a combination of the MHA theme and the UA theme.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, man. Fucking love that shit. Oh, and then it like slides. That bass just slides right off. It was so cool. So, yeah, let's move on to track 20.
Three secrets.
Do you want to play this one?
I don't think we need to, okay. But I loved the light synthesizers, and I absolutely loved the very light vocals. You really have to lean into your speakers to hear it, and it's a short song.
Yeah.
But it's so worth it because it sounds like a bunch of secrets being whispered at you, and you really have to listen in to like hear the secret.
And I was trying to figure out what this was actually about, what it was describing. It's definitely mysterious, and I think it's coming to the realization that more people now have to carry a really big burden. Now Bakugo knows the secret.
Yeah.
Now it's three people. It's not three secrets. It's really one secret.
It's one secret between three people
that they have to hold on to it. It's kind of processing the responsibility.
Yeah.
Of what you now know, and what you cannot tell anybody.
Right.
Then we have the next song, number 21, Tartarus.
Ooh, I liked this one too.
I was like, whoa, sound design.
Super deep distorted. I even said something about it too. I said deep distorted cello / bass that solos over the vocal and sound effects.
Yes.
And then the percussion melody has this weird ah at the end.
Yeah. Definitely evil sounding. The breathing, chanting, whispers, whatever the fuck is going on underneath that build. It builds a lot of tension. It is a very, very good piece, almost Akira-esque.
Yeah, no, I totally heard some Akira in that.
Then we have number 22, Overhaul. I love the solo instruments, and this is what I mean by like, this is how you know this dude's a fucking gangsta.
That's right.
Because you have all these traditional instruments from Japan. It sounds like he's straight out of the Yakuza. And then they bring them into this modern age with a fucking heavy trap beat.
It's yeah. Cool. No, I even wrote down, I was like, man, I should have. And of course, I listened to this right after I put out our Tuesday Tunes reel yesterday. And I was like, fuck, I should have put this over Tuesday Tunes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Overhaul is a ruthless motherfucker, and I can tell that from this track.
Yeah, it's super fitting for the character. Very ominous. And the Shakuhachi with that fucking crazy-ass beat, man, it was super fitting for Overhaul. It's kind of chaotic, but also traditional, and it's like, you know, that's kind of the whole thing.
It reminds me of a scene, and I think it's in season 4, that when Mirio and Deku run into him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that happened in season 3.
I think it was just introduced in the last season.
Or, I mean, the last episode of season 3. And when they run into him, and he's like, no, this is my daughter. She's fine. Like, don't let her die. Yeah. Honey, come here. And he's like, they both know that he's fucking evil, he plays it off like
He plays it off so well.
He's a badass.
Speaking of Mirio.
Yeah, track number 23.
Track number 23, Mirio. This is a fun 80s fucking beat.
It's super dancey and fun, just like Mirio is.
Yeah.
Mirio's always popping out of the fucking walls and shit and just scaring people, giving people shit. I really think that Mirio has just a few similar characteristics to Deadpool. There are a few aspects about him.
His personality and his jokes.
His like nonchalantness is like, I don't give a fuck about anything. Yeah. The production value on this is really good. And then we finally have the last song. We'll take you out with this one. The theme of All Might on the Shakuhachi is what it's called. It's Butashi ga Kita.
Yeah, I really loved the grittiness of how the Shakuhachi sounded. I loved how gritty and raw it sounded, and it makes it sound super traditional.
Yeah, and when they blow into it really hard and it kind of wobbles a little bit, it kind of goes
like you can't even hear it, or it goes like out of pitch.
Yeah.
No, I really liked that.
The song title itself is just self-explanatory. It's very, very pretty. It is, to me, it's a good way to end the album because it brings it back around. Well, it's a goodbye to All Might.
Yeah.
It is the last thing, in a way. I mean, All Might's not necessarily
dead.
He's not dead, but his career is dead.
Yeah. His alter ego, essentially.
There's no more Watashi ga Kita. This is a memory to that.
Yeah. And it sounds like it too. It sounds almost like kind of like a farewell. That rawness really like is like, this is it, guys. I'm out.
It's the funeral song to his career.
Yeah.
It was super cool. Well, that's it for the OST, guys.
Yeah, I have some fun facts for you guys. And actually, the last
with a
fun
lot
fact,
of A's in facts.
Yeah,
fun facts.
Because that's usually how I say it.
Oh, yeah,
fun facts.
Perfect. I love how you typed it. Bring it on in.
All right. So Hagakure, the Invisible Girl, and Asui were envisioned to be boys, but when Koshi realized Class 1A was mostly boys, he changed their gender, and good for him.
Yeah.
We don't need any more male dominance in this world. Fuck the patriarchy, bitches. Horikoshi says that he does not quite understand this character, but Yuga is fun to draw, so it's fine by him. I think that's so funny.
I could see that.
All right. Moving on, we got Horikoshi likes to draw Denki, the lightning dude. However, he still can't draw his hair quite consistently.
That's what he says.
That's what he says. Like,
fuck it.
And then we've got second to last one, Fumikage, Dark Shadow. His birthday is a day before Halloween, and wouldn't you know it?
Just Fumikage?
Makes fucking sense. Yeah.
What is his first name? Toyama?
Yeah,
I forget his name.
Yeah.
I'd know if I saw it.
All right. And this one is by far super relatable to our podcast. It's what we're here for, to point out things like this. In this season, we even get a musical reference / callback to Brian the Sun when All Might's visiting the families. It's episode 50, and it's when they're talking to Kyoka's parents. And he makes a reference. Her dad makes a reference to Brian the Sun, who did the first ending in the first season. And they're like, you know, they're talking about All Might's fight and after the All for One fight.
Yeah.
And he's like, he was so hardcore, like Brian the Sun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, you people who watch English dub would not catch this reference because I just went through and watched both the scenes in subbed and dubbed, and the dubbed version does not reference Brian the Sun.
What does he say?
He just says it was fucking hardcore, and that was it.
That's it.
That's it. He doesn't give any reference. So you English dubbers, you know, that whole story that I put out yesterday.
English dub kind of bugs me sometimes.
It's, well, I get it. I get why. If you're an English speaker, you're most likely in a country that's not Japan. And
yeah, but Brian the Sun still plays on every dub's outro.
Absolutely. But if you're not into the music like we are and our audience is, then you might not know who Brian the Sun is.
That was a cool Easter egg that you left out, English dub.
Nope, it's very true. I am very disappointed, but I also understand. And now that's just something special for me. It's just for me now. Yeah, that was it. Those are my fun facts.
Cool. Well, take them out with your infamous outro.
My beautiful fucking people out to the world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us as we talk about all the things anime. Because we never just focus on music.
I mean, it's a hardcore, severe focus on music with just a sprinkle in of everything else.
Until we talk with Preston.
Yeah, exactly.
And whether you're cozied up with your own fucking BBC or you're taking us along with you for the ride by air, taxi, Uber, bicycle, skateboard. I don't give a fuck. Flying if you got a quirk. We are absolutely thrilled that you're here with us to talk about music, anime, and sound effects.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening today. Would you say hello?
Hello.
This is the goodbye.
Never.
Thank you guys for listening today. And if you could do one thing for us, please head over to our Instagram page. If you're not already a follower, especially, it is becoming a really, really fun community over there. We play games on our stories. We get engaged with you guys. We share your art, your music, whatever you're into. We always, always respond, especially to messages, even if it's not right away. We do our best to respond to every single
Absolutely.
One of them. So please head on over there and give us a follow and a like and talk to us. We want to talk to you.
I want to talk to you, bitches. Yes.
Okay. Not
sorry.
You're
beautiful bitches. Remember, I said that.
Oh, my God. You're
quoting myself.
Fucking freak.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, guys, you can stream My Hero Academia on Crunchyroll. And that's at least where we watched it.
Crunchyroll, Hulu, Amazon.
Funimation.
Funimation. High Dive does not have it.
Okay.
And
there's a couple other places around the world. If you're in like Australia,
Netflix, I believe, has it too.
Anime Labs, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we said that in our first episode. So I'm pretty sure if they have season one, they probably have it as season
two. Yeah. The only thing that's confusing is like Hunter x Hunter. They have 4 seasons on Netflix.
Yeah.
But not the fucking fifth.
But not the fifth.
Chimera Ant one.
No,
it makes no sense. Whatever. So we try to give you all the places that you can watch it. Yeah. That's it for us, guys. Tune in next week for another episode of.
Anime noise. Better. We did better that time.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Bye.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.